We're going to start a brand new series, and we are going to be talking about this new wineskins. And of course, we're going to explain what that actually means and all that good stuff. But we want to look at what Jesus had to say about it, what it really means for us today. And this is a topic, obviously, I've not preached on before. Anybody who's been here the entire time I've preached, you will not have heard me preach on this topic. But maybe some things you'll hear because, well, God's heart is about new things, and new wineskin speaks to that. But let me read you the key verse where we hear Jesus talk about this, and we will go from there. Matthew 9:17. Jesus talking, he says, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins, so that both are preserved." Now, whenever you look at scripture, just looking at that little part of the verse, it'd probably be pretty tricky. Like, what's he talking about? What's going on? You always need context to interpret, and you always need other scriptures. So here Jesus is talking, and at this moment, he's actually talking to John's disciples. And you see, Jesus and his followers were going out. They were ministering to people, seeing people healed, but they were doing things differently. And one of the things Jesus did was he would eat with anybody who invited him. And so the Pharisees were like, "How come you're eating with sinners? What's wrong with you?" And Jesus, you know, quickly told them, "Well, I've come to help sinners. You know, I want to see sinners repent. You know, the sick people need a doctor, not the other way around." He was explaining just briefly to them. Then John's disciples come along and say, "How come you guys don't fast all the time?" Because you see, these were some religious things that they did, and they felt that by doing these things, they were closer to God, and, well, God would be more happy with them. But here Jesus is with his followers doing it differently. And people who are religious get really upset when you mess with the pattern, when you mess with the religious thing they like. They get really upset. And no different in Jesus' day. But he gives them this picture that they would all understand. You see, they were from a culture where obviously they had no fridges, but they did have lots of vineyards with grapes. And new wine, by the way, is grape juice. Freshly squeezed grape juice is what new wine is. But they would preserve it through the year until the next harvest. And the way they preserved it was squish out the juice and put the juice in a new wineskin. Anybody guess what a new wineskin was made of? An animal skin. And a new wineskin meant it was a fresh animal skin. And the animal skin, it would be skin from the animal and tied together spots that need to be sealed and the grape juice put in. So Jesus is speaking to them a picture that they completely all know. Every person who had ever drunk grape juice in that day knows this is how it's done. And he speaks from that clear picture that they understand and says, you don't put new wine, fresh grape juice, in an old wineskin. You see, at the end of the year, you emptied out that wineskin and a few others. You can't go reuse them because they've completely stretched. You see, as the grape juice is in the wineskin is going to ferment to some extent and it will expand and the new wineskin will stretch with it. Well, why did Jesus give them this picture? You see, he was not really concerned about new wine or how to preserve new wine. Everybody there knew. But he was giving them a scripture to clearly explain that he and his disciples were doing things differently. And here's the reason. You see, the main reason he was doing things differently was that the Father, the Heavenly Father, wanted to do something new and fresh, and he would need new wineskins to do it. He would need people and methods that would allow him to pour in the new. You see, if you get stuck in the way it always was, you're going to get the same results you've already gotten. If you refuse to shift and change and stretch, I found something out, and it's this: your ability to stretch, to change, to be a new wineskin is not based on age. It's based on attitude. I'll explain that more as we go. Sometimes people, well, I'm just a certain age and I'm old. I don't like things to be different. Well, that's not an age thing. That's an attitude thing. And I have some great news. No matter how awesome your life is right now, God has got something better, something more challenging, something more exciting for you if you're willing. No matter how miserable your life is, God's got something better, greater, and further. But there's a key here that Jesus speaks, and the key really is this. Methods have to change and other things. Let me give you some points from what Jesus said. You see, Jesus was speaking to some religious mindsets that were among the people who actually followed God, by the way. He wasn't speaking this to unbelievers. He was speaking it to God's people. And he was speaking to their mindsets, and he was letting them really clearly know, you guys, things must be done differently. You see, the Heavenly Father wants to do new and amazing things in each of our lives. But it won't happen if everything stays the same. Have you ever thought, boy, I just wish my relationships were better? But you keep doing relationship the exact same way you've always done it and wonder why it's exactly the same or maybe even worse. You ever thought, oh, I wish my job was better? But you continually do the exact same thing you've always done with your job, your boss, and your fellow employees. And you wonder why work always feels the same to you no matter where you go. You see, if you want something new and fresh, you will have to do things differently. So let me get to my first point of what Jesus was bringing out and what Scripture brings out in many other areas. And it's this, because I believe God wants each of us to be a new wineskin. Someone who is stretching, someone who is able and willing to take the new that he wants to bring into our lives. Because you see, the Lord, his Holy Spirit, is likened to rivers of living water. It's fresh and new. The minute you become old and stale, you're not allowing his Holy Spirit to flow through you to others. You are automatically now becoming religious instead of spirit-filled. Think about that. If it feels old and stale for you, the people around you are feeling even worse. God never asked us to be religious. He never asked us to find a pattern and stick to it no matter what. You see, becoming a new wineskin requires new methods. The methods the Pharisees and John's disciples used were actually ordained by God in their time. But they were not going to work for what God had next. This is probably the most difficult thing about changing for believers. At some point in the past, they heard from God, do it like this. But they don't realize God said, do it like this for right then, for that season, for that purpose, even for that individual. But guess what? The same God who spoke then likes to speak to his children daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. He's got something fresh all the time. Don't get stuck in yesterday. Because the method he gave you for that time, that season, and that purpose may not be the method he's asking you to use right now, today. So let me ask you this. Are you willing to do something you've never done before to receive results that you've never seen before? Because I have found out you will not get results you've never seen if you do the same thing you've always done. I've met so many people that want things in their life to be better, and you know, often the first thing they'll say, well, if he would change, if I had a different boss, always it seems the change is everywhere else. But guess what? If you want things to be different in your life, then it's you. You can blame whoever you want. It won't change a thing in you. I heard one person say in an article I read, and they said this: you can move forward and accomplish great things, or you can make excuses, but you can't do both. People who move forward and do great things do not make excuses. That's why they're moving forward. An excuse is a reason to say, this is why I can't do it, because. If God has asked you to do it, you can do it. But excuses won't make it happen. I don't know who that's for, but someone needed to hear that. Do you find yourself often complaining or making excuses about why this is this way? There's a story in Scripture where Peter is asked to do something he has never done before. See, Peter, this is in the book of Acts, after Jesus has already gone up to heaven, but he sent out his followers and said, go into all the earth and make disciples of all nations. And he told them, you know, begin at Jerusalem, get endued with power from on high and all that good stuff. And that's all happened, but there's not a lot of movement until some persecution happens and then they move out. Did you know that if you move out the way God says, it doesn't have to get rough until you're pushed to where he wants you to go or what he wants you to do? Listening is a pretty cool thing, and it can be exciting. Not listening can get really uncomfortable fast. Of course, we probably all have in some way. I mean, unless you're a newer believer, a newer Christian, you're like, I don't know about that. Seems like you have to get older to get more stubborn. I'm not sure. Whatever our age, God has great things in store, and he simply needs us to be flexible and able to stretch and able to change. But he asked Peter to do something Peter had never done, and Peter actually ends up having a vision. He's hungry in the afternoon. They're traveling and doing ministry. He's at Simon's house, Simon the Tanner, and he's there at the house, and he has a vision. Acts 10, verse 11. It says, he saw heaven opened and something coming down that looked like a large sheet being lowered by its four corners to the earth. In it were all kinds of animals, reptiles, and wild birds. And a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, certainly not, Lord. I've never eaten anything ritually unclean or defiled. The voice spoke to him again. Do not consider anything unclean that God has declared clean. This happened three times. And then the thing was taken back up into heaven. So God gives him a vision and repeats it three times. When God repeats something, it usually means he's trying to make a point. He's trying to get it through our thick heads. But he says this to Peter. Peter answers him with, oh, no, Lord. In other words, he knew it was the Lord asking him. No, I've never eaten anything ritually unclean or defiled. Now, right after he has this vision and he's thinking, what is this about? Three men show up at the house and tell Peter, you need to come. Our master Cornelius has asked you to come to speak to him and his household the words that God has given you. Cornelius, who was not a Jew, has had an encounter where he has an angel tell him, you need to send men to find Peter. You'll find him on the seaside at this guy's house. And they show up at that time. It's amazing how God orchestrates things, isn't it? He knows what he's doing. So they come and say, will you come? And Peter realizes, oh, this is what it's about. Yes, I'll come. And so he takes with him six other Jews, because he's a Jew as well. And he heads to Cornelius' house. And when he gets there, Cornelius has invited friends, relatives, and his immediate family. There's a large crowd of people. And Cornelius actually, you know, bows before Peter and he says, no, don't do that. We're both men. He's getting a picture. And in verse 28, Peter finally gets it and he says this. Speaking to the crowd of people, he says, you yourselves know very well that a Jew is not allowed by his religion to visit or associate with Gentiles. But God has shown me that I must not consider any person ritually unclean or defiled. Now, there was not an exact law that said that they could not visit or be with Gentiles, but over time, the Jewish tradition and laws came to be that they decided so that we never or defile ourselves or touch something that's unclean, we won't eat or associate with any Gentile. Which I don't believe was God's exact plan. If you read in the Old Testament, many times there was encounters and God has a plan and a purpose. I mean, you think of the ones who were taken captive in exile, Daniel and those, well, they had many conversations and time with non-believers. But this was the custom of the day for all Jews. Don't do it. So if someone else was unclean and they touched them, they would be unclean. If the food had been offered to idols or somebody unclean had prepared the food, they'd be defiled. So this was why they came up with that custom. So he was correct in saying, yeah, we got this law, a custom that we don't associate. But God has shown me that I must not consider any person ritually unclean or defiled. In other words, God said, stop it. Think about it. When Jesus left, he told them all, I want you to go into the whole world and make disciples of all nations, not just Jews. How were they going to do that if they weren't allowed to talk to anybody else in a visiting sense? It would be impossible, wouldn't it? So Peter has to drop his religion and do something he's never done before. And it wouldn't have been easy for him, and it wasn't. But here he comes, he begins to tell them about Jesus. And he does something he's never done before, and God has the results exactly how he wanted it. While he's in the middle of explaining to them about Jesus and how he died on the cross for them to pay for their sins, and he's telling them how Jesus did this, and then after he's saying, you know, Jesus came and he gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit, while he's telling them, Cornelius, his friends, and all of his relatives begin speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit just fell right in that place. And Peter is standing here there going, wow. Well, I guess they could probably be water baptized because they're already filled with the Holy Spirit. And he tells the six guys who were with him who are also Jews, hey, God wants to reach these people. Did you know that when Peter and the six guys get back to Jerusalem, they are in trouble? Other religious people are mad at them. Well, you heard you were over there eating with these people. What's wrong with you? It is not about being religiously perfect. It's about hearing the Holy Spirit and moving out into what he says. If you're willing to do that, you're going to see great things. If you're willing to do that, you'll be like a new wineskin, and the Holy Spirit will do something through you to reach the world around you. He will use anybody who's willing. Did you hear me? He will use anybody who's willing. Becoming a new wineskin so requires new methods. It also requires new people. Now, this is an overview message, so I'm going to go really fast on some of this, and we'll have a message that goes deeper. What do I mean by new people? You and I may need to connect with new people. We may need to disconnect with others. And we may need to help other new people step into their purpose and calling. See, Timothy was someone who was a young man and pastoring people, and Paul tells him in 2 Timothy 2 this. He says, take the teachings that you heard me proclaim in the presence of many witnesses and entrust them to reliable people who will be able to teach others also. There's the idea of raising up other people to even do what you do. And of course, we know from Scripture that there are also times where God has somebody take your position who is able and willing to move forward. There are seasons for all of us, and we must take those seasons and learn and grow and help others to be in their position and do what they're called to do. And yes, there were scriptural stories where some men decided, Lord, I don't want to listen, I don't want to do what you want. And God said, it's okay, I found somebody else. They'll do it. When you think of that, that is something for me that I always think, Lord, I want to do what you say. I want to do what you say. I remember hearing a story of a well-known preacher back in the day. And they were talking to God about the ministry that he had asked them to do, and they'd been doing it for a number of years. And sometimes ministry is difficult, and they were saying, Lord, why did you ask me? Like, why did you ask me to do this? There's so many others that could do it better than me. And the Lord spoke to them and said, I asked two other people before you, and they refused. I asked you, and you said yes. So being a new wineskin is being able to say yes. And I'll tell you this, if you stay open and stretchable and okay to change, God's not going to remove you and put someone else. He's going to lead you. And yes, he may lead you and you raise somebody, whatever you're doing. I have really good news for each of you. Where you're at doesn't have to be the same next week. It doesn't have to be the same next year. What you're feeling inside and who you are can change. Are you willing to do new methods? Are you willing to connect with new people? Because you know what? If you keep hanging out with that guy doing drugs, eventually you're going to join him. Keep hanging out with that person who just complains and is so negative. Eventually, you're going to be complaining and negative and just going to be miserable when you wake up. The problem with complaining and being negative is pretty soon when you wake up and everywhere you go, it's like you have this filter that picks up negative things. It's like a magnet because that's what your brain and your mind is focused on. Did you know they've done studies and people are far more likely to remember negative things than happy, positive things? Did you know that? Sometimes it's because there's trauma related with it. Sometimes it's just to do with, I think, our sinful, fallen world. But you on purpose can choose to see the good around you and you will be different. Change. Being a new wineskin is something God wants to do, I believe, with each of us. Becoming a new wineskin requires new vision or direction. Now, yeah, I'm speaking quite a bit to believers, but this is for anybody. New vision or direction. So we already talked about new methods. We talked about new people in your circle of influence, new people around you. But what about new direction? You see, you can be a passionate person. You can want life to be better. You can have all kinds of great ideas, but what's the direction? What's the steps to take? God wants to show you. God wants to lead you step by step. God will connect you with people who know how to do what it is you want to do. God will put people in your path who have wisdom, and you can get wisdom from them. See, it's not all about just having a vision or hearing a word. That's awesome when it happens, but what about the people he's put right beside you that you work with, that you have, that have wisdom that they can give to you? Are you willing to take it and learn? You see, being able to stretch like a new wineskin means you're still willing to learn new things. The minute you get stubborn and decide, I don't want to learn anything new, you won't learn anything new. And you'll be stuck. I don't like being stuck. I thought, well, how is it that some people so dislike change that they'd rather stay in something that's dry and dead? And I think some people are actually afraid of change. And it just feels comfortable with nothing changing sometimes. But comfortable and dry is really a long, slow death. Don't do it. Yeah, but, you know, maybe you're thinking, yeah, but I'm retired and that's fine. You can be retired and still have God do great things through you. You can be 85, 90, and God still has things that he wants you to do, for you to say, for you to pray. He has people that he wants you to raise up, lift up. So don't get stuck. What was awesome and worked last year may not be the thing he's directing for this year. New vision, new direction. Proverbs 29:18, and I'm going to go pretty quickly through this. Where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. God wants to give vision. You need direction or you perish. If you have no life direction, if you have no life goal, you're simply floating, bumping back and forth like a pinball in a pinball machine. Younger people probably don't know what that is. Direction and goals, you go forward. Direction and goals come from vision and purpose that God's given you. Look at the next place you need to go and go there. I'm not talking about moving to Edmonton, by the way. I say that every time, just in case. I'm talking about right here in your life. What's your next step? What's your next goal? Isaiah 42:9, indeed, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. This is God speaking. He does want to show you new things. Maybe you've never heard or seen anything from God. Maybe you don't even know the purpose of your life. God wants to show you. God wants to speak it to you. Because God made every person with gifts and talents. He made every person with ability. Amos 3, verse 7. Indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything until he reveals his plans to his servants, the prophets. The Lord we serve wants to reveal his plan. Are we listening? Do we know how to listen? He wants to reveal it to each of us for our lives. And yes, he may have given you the gift to reveal things for your family, maybe even for your community, maybe for your country. God calls and equips, but you're going to need to hear what he says for you first, I guarantee it. What he's saying for you, you need to speak it out loud and step out. If you're new to this and you're like, well, I'm not sure, then talk to somebody who has wisdom and say, this is what I'm feeling and sensing. What do you think? Let them pray with you. Let them encourage you. Let them show you how. You see, always, always the Lord asks people to step out in faith, following his new directions before new things happen. This is really key. Often we'll pray, Lord, would you just do it? Would you just bring this? You know, bring, bring the finance. We need more finance for the bills. Just bring in more finance. We're praying it. And then the Lord is putting on your heart, yeah, put a resume in over here and, you know, at this workplace. And you just keep praying because, well, no, we just need finance to increase. You need a step of faith for there to be a change and for things to increase. Has anybody ever changed jobs? You know, I mean, that's a big step of faith, isn't it? I mean, unless you hated your job, but otherwise it's like, well, you know, I got to drop this and put in something here. And are they going to, you know, there's some fear involved with it, but faith says, I'm going to step in. I'm going to do something new to get a different result. I tell people this all the time. If you hate your job, there's a couple things going on. One, maybe you're at the wrong job. Or two, you're only looking at the horrible things and you're not realizing why you're there. It's kind of one or the other. So if you're supposed to be there and it's rough, you find a way to make that a better place. But if you're just there because you don't want to make a change, make the change. All right. Did you know that to have a new wineskin or getting a new wineskin requires a life to be given up? In the natural, every year after the grape harvest, they would have to kill a sheep or a goat to have a new wineskin. The very term new wineskin meant a fresh skin. If you're not a hunter here today, maybe you're feeling grossed out, but that's how it was. And you think about that, so to even have a new wineskin, a life needed to be given up. And what does that mean for you and I? If you want a new, different life, you're going to have to leave behind an old one. There's no way around it. Or no, I just want to add Jesus to this life. No, you're going to have to leave one thing behind to reach for the next. I remember hearing a story years ago about how they caught monkeys in the jungle. And they would get a pail and they'd fill it with rocks in the bottom and they would put peanuts in there on the rocks and then they would have a small hole at the top. They would just set it there and they would leave. The monkeys in the trees would smell the peanuts. I mean, they would see this bucket and they'd be curious and then they'd smell the peanuts. They would put their hand into the bucket, grab the peanuts, and they would refuse to let go of the peanuts no matter what. So when their hand came in, they grabbed the peanuts, it wouldn't fit out. All they had to do was let go of the peanuts, but they wouldn't. And along would come the hunter with his club, and they'd have monkey skin. No, anyways, you get the picture. That monkey didn't live. Oh, I knew a missionary who went to those areas, and he had monkey soup one time. But anyways, that's a different story. So what was the problem? The monkey was unable to release what he wanted at the moment to be free. Sometimes as people, we act like that. Oh, I want change. I want a different. Let go of this? No! Don't make me. I didn't say I wanted to let go of that. Do it. Let go of it and see what happens. What is it that's stopping you from that change that God has in your life? Is it just one thing you're holding? Think about it for a minute. You've maybe been thinking about this for a while. Yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this different. I know this is what I want to do. I want to go to school so I can do this. Well, what's stopping you? What are you holding on to that's saying it's impossible? Well, there's just not enough money. Just let that go, because there'll never be enough money as long as that's your excuse. Let it go and find a way to make enough money, or find enough money, or find a subsidy, or find a grant, or find someone to sponsor you. Not enough money is an excuse. If God's directing you, go. So what is the one thing that's making you look like a monkey with his hand in the bucket? Oh boy, now I'm in trouble. Well, I can't. I'm not old enough. I'm not young enough. I don't look good enough. I don't know if anybody says that. But anyways, whatever the reason, I'm stuck. I can't because my bills. A little revelation, you will always have bills. If that's your excuse for not doing anything, you will never do anything. That's for the young people. Just let it go. Whatever it is that's holding you back, there is a solution. But you do need to let go of the excuse and then find the solution. You can't find the solution as long as that's your reason for not going forward. Okay? Wow, Lord, is there a specific... You know, sometimes when I'm preaching up here, Lord gives me specific things. Because some of you are maybe going through specific things that you don't want to let go. There's one that comes to mind. You know, I've met people with this mindset. Yeah, I'm going to do this, but I can't do it now, you know, because I want to get my life together first. Like, I want to quit drinking. So they don't step into anything because they're going to quit drinking, but they can't quit drinking on their own. They need to step forward where they can get help and where they can begin and have a reason to quit their drinking. So often, that one excuse is trapping you forever. Please let it go. Maybe you're in an unhealthy relationship. You know it's unhealthy, and you're thinking, well, yes, I know it's unhealthy and I want to do something about it, but you know, I don't want to hurt or offend this other person. So for the rest of your life, you're going to make no changes. I'm not talking about if you're married, by the way. We can preach about that another time. We can work on marriages. You can change. I'm talking about just people getting relationships, even friendships that are unhealthy for them. And you knew it, and you know, wow, I don't want them to not like me. Monkey in a bucket. I don't want to hurt their feelings. It is sad to say that many times when you make decisions and do stuff, there will be people who don't like it. Just get over it or you'll never make a decision. I remember when I first started pastoring, I wanted everybody to like me all the time. Boy, was I in for a surprise. But you know what? As Peter said, well, are we supposed to please man or God? We're supposed to please God. Now, I don't want to intentionally hurt people. I don't want to intentionally offend or make people like, oh no, I want to give you stuff that'll bring you life. And I want you to always leave here feeling built up. I want you to go out of here with at least one thing that you can do to take you further in your walk with Him. And if you're here and you're not saved yet, well, that's always what I want. Because I know that God has a great life. And he wants to do it for you. And, you know, we talk about a life had to be given, and I'm talking about leaving it old and moving ahead. But, of course, I want to take this to you and I. Because, you see, there was a life given for every one of us so that we could start fresh and new. So that we could be that new wineskin that God wanted to pour in. And of course, that life that was given was the life of Jesus Christ. See, he gave up his life and hung on a cross. And he hung there on that cross, bleeding, dying, and he was doing it for us. So that we could be refreshed and made new, restored again to the Heavenly Father. And as he said in his own words, born again in the Spirit. What is that? That's fresh. That's new. He wants to make you new from the inside out. And he paid the price for it already. John 3:16, it said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And in Romans 5:8, it says, God showed his great love by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. I think so often about that story as he hung there on that cross, dying for this crowd of people watching, and what are they doing? Mocking him. Ah, if you were the Son of God, then why can't you keep yourself down off that cross? Mocking him. And what does he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. There's a world around you and I that they don't know. They're only doing the things they were taught, the things they learned as they grew up. They don't know. But I have good news. Jesus died for you when you didn't know. He did that, and he said, it's easy to receive. You see, being saved or accepting what Christ did is not about joining a church or a religion. It's about saying, Lord, I believe you did that for me, and I want to receive it and follow you. And Jesus said that it was something that he did for all. And in Romans, we read that if you speak with your mouth what you believe in your heart, you'll be saved. It's that simple. And so we at our church take a moment to pray a prayer that'll just let you use words for what you're feeling right here. It allows Jesus to come and be a part of your life and for you to begin following him. So I'm going to pray that prayer right now. I'm going to ask everybody here to repeat the prayer after me. For those one or two that maybe haven't done this before and they're like, you know what, I'm going to give this a try. I want to do this. So let's do this right now. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I choose to follow you. Amen. Give God praise for that.